Our scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah. We'll be reading verses 1 through 20. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, and we'll read to verse 20. Hear God's own true and eternal word. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought you up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash ye, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Thus far, and let us come before the Lord in prayer. Service, we hope to begin a new series. The last couple years, we've been looking at the basics of prayer, and I had been considering what we could go to next, and certainly in a prayer service, it seems that messages that relate to prayer are helpful, and it's what we've been studying for the last 2 years. But another aspect that is weighty in my own heart is just all the different parts of Scripture where we could have a focus and a desire and a quest, which in a sense is what should happen at every sermon. But very pointedly so, we will hope to look through not just Isaiah, hopefully in the future, other passages as well, but beginning with Isaiah and seeing all the many prophecies and pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. And inevitably, as we do so, we also see pictures of ourself. Today will be a case in point of looking at Jesus and you and Isaiah, beginning in this very portion, and we won't be going exactly every chapter at a time. In a sense, what I will do is pause at every very well-known and familiar passage that either brings forth the promises of the gospel or presents the Lord Jesus in a very clear way. And what is before us, and I'm sure everyone would agree in this whole chapter, what we have read is verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." A very precious verse, a very precious promise. And we hope to consider this verse in this context of what we have read today, the very introduction of the prophecy of Isaiah. And as we look at this chapter, before we really do look into it, it is weighty, it is hard to develop it in just 20 minutes or so, but I do have to give a very brief introduction as we begin looking through the book of Isaiah. This is a vision, which means that Isaiah was in essence awake. If it were a dream, he would have been sleeping, but he was awake and he saw this vision, and these were things he was seeing as if it were a dream, but with his eyes open. And Matthew Henry says this, "God's prophets saw what they spoke of, knew what they said, and require our belief of nothing but what they themselves believed and were sure of." Everything contained in this book is what God told Isaiah to pen. And this is an emblem, of course, of the totality of Scripture. But many of the other authors of Scripture, like Paul, it wasn't that God was speaking to him like a prophecy, but he was inspiring Paul to write what he did write. So it is all of God's Word. But when a prophet would pen his words, they were words that were in essence dictated to that prophet, especially as he saw the visions and then described what he was seeing. Those were things that God gave him to pen down. And so this is what we have in Isaiah. And the subject of the prophecy is Judah and Jerusalem, the nation and the capital. And but what's interesting, as we read through Isaiah, we'll realize God doesn't just speak about Judah. He will talk about, there will be prophecies for Babylon, for Egypt, for Damascus, for Moab, for Tyre. There'll be for other places, because all these other countries were in the relationship, in some relationship to Judah. And of course, Judah is the center of all of these messages. And this would have been around the year 700. The span of Isaiah was many years. Some think it was between 60 to 80 years of prophecy from King Uzziah to Jotham to Ahaz and Hezekiah. Of all these kings, only Ahaz was really seen as a very bad and wicked king. To some degree, throughout our studies, we'll go back to see how bad this king would have been. But we think of Hezekiah, and he would have been a king who greatly loved Isaiah and received counsel from Isaiah and called upon Isaiah to help and to pray. But he very likely would have been in hiding or certainly hated by Ahaz. And so Isaiah knew what it meant to serve in prosperity and also in favor, but also to serve in times of great affliction. And what we hope to see today is a picture of the sinner in a very simple way, and then secondly, a picture of the Savior. And it's beautiful to see the parallel, and it's dramatic to think of the parallel in these both realities. The first, then, looking at the picture of the sinner, we follow a pattern. We will see their present state as being declared here in Isaiah. And then we will see what they looked like, what they were doing in their present state, what they looked like. There's some description, not just of their actions, but of even their appearance, as it were, because of what they were doing. And then the consequences. But then there's also another portion regarding the sinner, and it refers to their promised state. And you can also separate there in parallel. In the promised state, there is a little aspect of what they are to do and what they are to look like and what they are and what will be the consequences. And then we will look at the Savior. And when we see the picture of the Savior, it's really the same thing. His state, what he looked like, and what the consequences are. And so, first of all, the picture of a sinner and their present state is how the letter begins. They have rebelled. God has fed his people. He's nurtured them. He's been a father to them. But in verse 2 it says, I have nursed and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. And the prophet uses one word after another to describe this rebellion. It's in essence the reality of not realizing who they belong to. He uses the analogy that even the ox and the even the ox knows his master, but Israel does not know. And so animals like the ox and the ass, they know how to go back to the barn, and they know the hand of who takes care of them. But Israel, even though they have been fed by God, doesn't. And so this is the present state of Israel, of his people, what they were doing. They were rebelling. In verse 4, it simply says, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, that have forsaken the Lord. The idea of forsaking is of deserting. They belong to the Lord, but then they deserted the Lord. They have gone backward. That's the idea, of course, of backsliding, of turning away from God. Instead of going in the direction of God, they're now running away from God. They're being alienated from God. They have other allegiances instead of God. See, this is describing the state of the person without the Lord Jesus. This is who he is. He is someone who is forsaking his very creator. But then it says what they looked like in verse 6. See, it says, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. The word putrefying could also be translated new sores, fresh sores. They have not been closed. See, sores that have been opened but not stitched. They're not bound and they're not mollified and cared for with ointment. See, this is the idea of how the sinner is looking like. It's the idea of entirely being sick. That's where it starts at the beginning. He will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. See, the head, the body, the heart inside. There's sickness inside and out. And then the rest of the passage from verses 7 to 15 is really the consequences. Because of this state of rebellion, and they look very bad because of this state of rebellion, there will be great consequences. The country will be desolate, the cities will be burnt, the land will be devoured and overturned, the people will be ravished, their worship will not be accepted. This is the longest portion from verse 10, 11, 12, 13, all the way to 15. It's different ways that God is saying, I am tired of your offerings. I am tired that you come and offer these offerings. I don't want to hear your prayers anymore. When you raise your hand, and that was the physiognomy of when they were praying to the Lord. And God is just saying, all of that is enough. Your incense is abomination. The incense was the emblematic of prayers. God is saying, I am tired of all of that. That's the consequence. But then, like I said, this was their present state, but then there's a promised state. And that's going to the verse that is more well known in verse 17 and 18. Well, what are they to do? See, remember, when we looked at their present state, they're doing a lot of things. It's their sin. And they're looking a certain way. That's their how they look. And the consequences. Now, when we look at the promised state, we find the three things. What are they to do, their activity? Well, they are to, verse 16, wash. They are to make clean. They are to put away the evil of their doings. In verse 17, they are to learn to do well. They are to seek judgment. See, God gives them very clear words of what they are to do. And then what will they look like? Instead of those wounds and all those sores and all that ugly, sick condition, this is what is promised that you and I will look like when we turn to Jesus. Although your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now the sin as scarlet and the color crimson directly goes back to verse 6. When you think of wounds that are not closed and sores that are new and bruises that are not mollified with ointment, it means that there will be red like crimson. There will be scarlet color. So now God is saying, this is what you'll look like if you trust in me. If you repent. And then the consequences. Verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. That's the simple phrase is you will eat the good of the land. And we are to understand that God is saying, and I will receive your worship. And you can bring your oblations. And you can say your prayers. And you can bring your incense. You will be fed. Remember, it started with him feeding, but they are rebelling. And God is saying, if you turn to me, if you repent, if you're washed, you will be forgiven and I will feed you. And that's basically, the idea is, I want to be and learn from the ox and the ass. I want to know my owner and my maker. But now, quickly, let us see the picture of the Savior. This is the picture of the sinner. In the present, if he's still a sinner, and in the promised state. And everyone who's a true believer is now in that state. Now, what is the picture of a Savior? Well, let's think of his earthly state and what he did. It is, in essence, in the text. We understand that this purity that is promised in verse 18 of being white as snow and wool and like wool, which would mean white like wool, this is an emblem of the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, as he walked upon this life, he was white as snow. He was as wool. His will was perfect. His affections were pure. His actions were blameless. He was the Lamb of God because he was the Lamb without blemish. For you and me to have this purity given, it had to come from him, who had that purity and lived that purity throughout all of his life. Every single fruit of the Spirit the Lord Jesus had abundantly. He was loving, he was kind, he was grateful, he was full of contentment, he was full of mercy, full of grace, he was patient and long-suffering. Jesus said, who of you can condemn me of sin? The Lord Jesus was pure, undefiled, blameless. But what did he look like? So even though the Lord Jesus was as pure, as blameless as he was, when he was arrested, tried and condemned, and when he was before his accusers, and when he was nailed to the cross, Isaiah 1, and especially verse 6, see, for verse 18 to be true of you and me, verse 6 had to be true of the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world had to be the Lamb who was slain. And from the sole of his foot and even to his head, he was affected by suffering. Have you stopped to consider that what is said about the state of the sinner is almost like a picture? What I mean, it is a picture, but it's almost as if a picture was taken of the Lord Jesus when he was tried and when he was condemned and when he was on the cross. Let me read it again. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. Jesus looked completely unwell and completely sick. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, no completion in the sense of, is there anywhere in Jesus where there's no sign of hurt? That's the idea of soundness. There was nothing about Jesus that was not suffering when he was on the cross. But wounds and bruises and new sores, putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. You see, the Lord Jesus, when he was on the cross, he had one wound after another. When you think of the crimson that already colored his body from the time he was at prayer, before he even had wounds, he already had blood. He already had the scarlet color upon him. And then when he's arrested, we see that he starts having wounds, and he has wounds from the thorns, the crown of thorns that they put upon him, and blood from all the scourging, and then sores from the smiting, and then the fresh and new slashes from the nails that pierced his hands and his feet. And you see, the nails that came upon the front of his foot came through on the soles of his foot. So that Jesus, from his soul to his head, was one complete bruised and sore and wounded man. That's how Jesus looked. And Isaiah knew this full well in the prophecies, to the point where he was able to say later in Isaiah 53, the very well-known passage as well, that says in verse 14 of 50, to as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. That's why they say in verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And see, verse 6 shows what this no beauty was. Why was he so uncomely, so ugly? Because the whole head was sick, the whole heart faint, from the sole of the foot even unto the heart, the head. There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. See, this is a picture, beloved, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was there anybody there on the cross who went to stitch his wounds, who went to put some oil on his sores, to mollify them? No. They were all not closed. They were all not bound up. And what are the consequences? See, we saw what Jesus, his state of purity, his look of utter uncomeliness when he died on the cross. And what are the consequences? His hurt becomes your blessing. Beloved, when you obey the summons to wash ye and make ye clean, that this is a call to repentance. And repentance is always with faith. Is this the Jesus whom you believe? The Jesus who looked like this so that you could look like verse 18. For you and me to be white as snow and to be as wool, Jesus had to be bruised from head to the sole of his feet. And when you trust in him, you will eat the good of the land. So here is a picture of the Lord Jesus and a picture of you. See, there's a picture of you if you're a sinner still, but there's a picture of you if you believe in Jesus and become a saint by faith in Christ. Let us pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we pray, please help us as we go through this precious book of prophecies, and as we see the pictures of Christ that are all throughout this book, And Lord, we confess our sins. We want to acknowledge, Lord, that in and of ourselves, we are the ones who have no soundness. We are the ones who are sick and faint. We are the ones, Lord, who, if we are not forgiven and blessed by thy grace and salvation, we are the ones, Lord, who shall be wounded and bruised forever. In hell, Lord, not a single wound is bound, not a single sore is closed. There is no ointment to mollify sores in hell. Oh, Lord, we pray that we would look to the Lord Jesus, as we know that he is the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, so that we can be saved and pardoned and look like the purity we find in verse 18. We pray, Lord, that each of us would be willing and obedient, that we would trust in the Lord Jesus and repent of our sins. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen.